This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KC, how are you?
What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Oh, God bless you. You're traveling all over God's green earth, and you're kind enough to jump on. Boy, the Bulls are fun to watch, and I know I'm supposed to be lose, make sure you lose. But, you know, when you hear Mike Malone call them the best running team in the league, the only takeaway is that Billy Donovan is one hell of a coach.
Yeah, you got to think he's going to be in consideration for Eastern Conference Coach of the Month. The Bulls are 8-4 this month, and nobody would have expected them to be playing at this pace. And then obviously Coby White is going to be a leading candidate for Eastern Conference Player of the Month. So yeah, it's been entertaining basketball. Certainly did not expect a 4-2 trip. And I will say, guys, you know, Mike, you alluded to the Malone quote. They've obviously played this style all year, and they've been top five in pace. They're currently third all season, shoot a lot of threes. They're top three in both makes and attempts. This is the first sustained trip where I was, like, literally watching them overwhelm teams in the fourth quarter. I mean, the Lakers wanted nothing to do with the Bulls in the fourth quarter. Last night, the Bulls outscored the Nuggets 34-24 in the fourth quarter. You talk to the players, and they almost, like, relish the fact that they feel like they're the best conditioned team in the league, and they're just playing at this incredibly fast-paced style. Billy Donovan is using a 10 or 11 player rotation to keep guys as fresh as he can, and they're doing this with three significant injuries: to Lonzo Ball, Io DeSumo, and now Trey Jones. So it's pretty impressive stuff that we're watching.
What's been the most surprising aspect of this Bulls resurgence, KC, and is that part of what you've seen sustainable?
I would say it's a close race between Kobe's jump and Giddy's play, but I'm going to lean towards Giddy's play, and I do think it's sustainable. Josh Giddy was not a very good player to start the season, whether that was adjusting to a new city, a new team, new teammates, a trade, what have you. He looked unathletic at times. He looked obviously his shot was not where it is now. You know, Billy Donovan was not using him in the closing rotation to start the season. It was like a repeat of why the Thunder traded him. Well, that's not the only reason the Thunder traded him, but it's one of them. And the level that he is playing at, and a big part of it to me, guys, is not only is his defensive activity and physicality improved, but he has stopped shooting that floater, and he's going all out at the rim. I mean, he's getting the line 10, 11 times a game. going through contact, playing physically at 6'8". He used to shoot that floater all the time in the lane and miss it more often than not. He's not doing that anymore. And so that's why I think it's sustainable, because I've talked to him about that, and he said, yeah, this is just what I realized I needed to do and my mindset. And so that should be really encouraging if you're a Bulls fan.
I got to tell you, between him, Kobe White, and Matas, that dunk, the behind-the-back flyby on Luka and then getting the ball down, that was – it gives him this look. That was extraordinary. And it's like, I know Heap's saying he wants to be the best player ever. I love hearing that stuff. And I think we're watching player development. And, you know, I hate to say this because, I like you, I have a lot of respect – for Zach LaVine, but it's almost like opened up the floor and changed their team, and they got a lot of young guys that are really kind of growing as players.
Yeah, I mean, you got Dalen Terry in the closing lineup and playing the final 17 minutes last night. You've had seen flashes from Julian Phillips, and I'm glad you brought up the player development, because Peter Patton and his staff really deserve a lot of credit for the time they've invested into these players and this organization. But it's funny you bring up that Matas play, Mike, because he really kind of downplayed it post-game in L.A. because he was just like, you know, it's just another basketball play, you know. And then I caught up with him yesterday after shooting around in Denver. I sat down with him for about 10 minutes, and I was talking about a bunch of stuff, but I brought up that play. I was like, come on, man. You can't downplay that. He goes, yeah, that was pretty nice. he knew it was, you know, NBA's Twitter account tweeted it. I mean, like, so their own social media team tweeted it. So he knew that one kind of swept the league. That was pretty nasty.
You know, Casey, when they are this exciting and entertaining at this stage of the season, obviously you don't want the season to end. Ultimately, it will, and you look ahead. Cap-wise, what are we looking at in this offseason in terms of, is this going to be an aggressive approach to free agents? Can they even do that? What do you expect in terms of roster turnover? Because you look at core pieces, the Giddy contract's important. Holding on to Kobe is now important. You've got Matas. You've got the draft pick. But beyond that, can they be aggressive in free agency?
No. Right. They can't. I mean, Giddy's the number one order of business. We were actually talking about this in the media room in Denver yesterday before when we were waiting for Shooteron to end as a beat group. We count 14 guaranteed contracts for next season, assuming Giddy's re-signed. And if you want to change this roster drastically, you got to make trades. And I'm not sure what I see out there trade-wise. I mean, I know that they've we'll revisit the Vucevic talks around the league, because look, they have three centers under contract and all three of them have played well. I mean, Zach Collins in the starting role played very well. Jalen Smith hadn't fallen out of the rotation and comes in and puts up a double-double in 13, 14 minutes last night and was instrumental to that victory. He's re-signed for next season. So unless you get creative with trades, I see largely this team intact. Now, the big one and the really dicey one is Kobe White, because he has completely outplayed this contract. And that was once a positive story in the sense that it was a team-friendly contract, could come back to bite the Bulls, because there's a rule in the CBA where you can only re-sign a guy at 140% of what he made. Well, Kobe's going to get way more than that on the open market. So he's through next season. But, like, I'm not saying this is something that they will do, because obviously he's a foundational piece. But, like, if you don't think you can re-sign him in after next season, do you proactively try to canvass his value around the league this summer? I mean, that's the way front offices have to think. Now, again, I'm not suggesting the Bulls want to or will trade Kobe White. I'm just saying these are the decisions they have to face. But they're going to have to get creative in the trade market if they're going to change this roster.
KC, they'll include him in the Giannis deal, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Would you trade him?
Man, that's a tough one. I would not, just because every time you think Kobe's hit a ceiling, he comes back.
Yes, I agree. Yes. I'm with you.
He's so much better this year than he was last year, and he really played well last year. He looks like an all-star. Honest to God.
But I agree with you, KC. You said on TV last night, I don't think you can give him the most improved player, because that was last year's window, and it kind of closed. You just have to accept the improvement for what it is, and he's made himself into an all-star player.
No question.
Yeah, but I would say, kind of like what you guys were, if you'd asked me that like 2 or 3 months ago, I would have said, you know what, as much as I love Coby White, I think you do need to see what his value is because of that contract situation and because he probably represents your best chance for change. But, man, Billy was really eloquent post-game about him last night, saying, like, what I love about him so much is he never looks outward. He always looks inward, and he just challenges himself to get better and to make the team better. He has become a leader, so, no, I would not trade him. I would just get really creative with how you can sign him after next season.
Well, I'm glad you didn't mess up his mojo by asking him a question because of his superstition before the game about how he felt about being the player of the week.
It's crazy. I mean, you guys got to respect these guys' different idiosyncrasies. It took me a while to figure out Caruso last year. In fact, one time he kind of snarled at me when I went up to him pregame. And then PR's like, yeah, Alex doesn't want to talk pregame anymore. I was like, okay, well, why didn't you tell me? So I didn't get my head bitten off. And now Toby's in that same way. He's in that same zone. But yeah, he's pretty funny with the media. Otherwise, as long as you don't get him pregame.
I was watching just some of their video that they put out. These guys really get along. I mean, you know, when someone's interviewing someone and someone's yelling from the window and another guy's standing there watching, it just feels like they really have this team thing down. I know we're supposed to want them to lose, but it's just extraordinary to see these young guys play the way they're playing and the way they're bonding as teammates.
Well, it's funny you'd say that because that was one part of my 10-minute conversation with Mattis yesterday after shoot-around in Denver. He was telling me, I was asking him about exactly that. Like, do you think you fell into, like, kind of the perfect situation because of how selfless this team is and how embracing this team is of young players and the veteran leadership you have from guys all the way, even guys behind the scenes. Like, I don't think Talen Horton Tucker and Javon Carter get enough credit for how good of teammates they are. I mean, I try to prop them up when I can, but those dudes are incredible professionals. And Mattis singled or talked about both those guys at length, among others. But to your point, Mully, it's like, he said, I love these guys. And the fact that they have accepted me and embraced me and pushed me and helped me, and he said, I could not have been in a better situation. And the fact that it's in my hometown makes it even more special. So, It is a fun team to be around, I'll tell you that. There's a nice energy to it. It's young. Vooch has talked about this too, how it's kind of rejuvenated him a little bit. So, I mean, look, it's March NBA basketball. Sometimes that can get a little silly and skewed, but for now, just enjoy the way they're playing because the style of basketball that they're playing is really fun to watch on a nightly basis.
Quickly before I let you go, what is best case for this team in terms of looking at the play-in or playoffs, and what is realistic?
I mean, well, there is no best case because if they went out of the play-in, they're going to get destroyed by Cleveland. So, like, that's one on the ledger of the side of those who said, why not chase Cooper Flag, right?
I mean,
because this is fun, and I'm you can hear I'm excited because it was a fun game last night, great trip, fun basketball to watch, but what are we doing here? I mean, they're not going to be
so
Cleveland,
true.
Right?
So true.
So,
I love it.
That's kind of the reality. But, you know, I mean, if they win 2 play-in games and make the playoffs, Arturis and the organization believe that's organizational development too for these young players. So let's see where it goes.
You're the best, KC. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, KC.
All right, guys. A lot of fun. Thanks.
That is KC Johnson.